Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Cold River Mountain Watch. Cold River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It's the 27th day of June, 2016. This is the Horn. Head on RadioNetwork.com is where you live. That's where you go if you want to go say hi to Jeremy in Vermont, Chug a Punch, Labor Man, Little Gray, and Sparky, all in the Horn chat room, where if you just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, you'll be right there inside the madcap merriment amongst the multimedia zany real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. All capable, moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third stage navigator, has exercised the greater part of valor and decided to fold space and become a cave today because it is, in fact, hot enough to the Moran out west. The reference to the Moran should be a clue that it is, in fact, Moran Monday on the Horn, because, you know, it is. We begin the week every day, every week with an assemblage, a compendium, an ingathering of the stupid. That's spelled T-E-H-S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa out in Vancouver. Loud and clear on my 1952 Remington Rand punch card calculator, Brother Bob. And I am so glad to know it, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you very kindly. All right, this is, as we all know, a listener-supported broadcast effort, independent broadcasting. And we subsist on list contributions. Thank you kindly to Catherine for getting us started this evening. We had four slots left in Chairman and CEO Harold's Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Challenge from Friday. We now have three slots left, and if those three get filled, then we will have completely fulfilled the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Challenge, and we will be running downhill toward beating the Swede. That's a big deal, beating the Swede. That results in an extra $100 for the month of June. We started at 50 in January, 60 in February, 70, 80, 90, $100 in June extra if we can, in fact, beat the Swede. And so, yeah, we need three more folks at $50 apiece to finish up the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Challenge. Thank you again to Secret Open Carry Roundup Society Chairman Harold for putting that forward. Thank you very, very kindly. Look, let's get this part out of the way. Well, okay, so the rest of it is if you want to do it by PayPal, you go to radionetwork.com, you click on Contribute. You fill out all the fields, you get to the next page. You don't worry about the one about where you're and what you do. Leave that on. You just get to the next screen. That's where you make all your choices. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, which some of you do, then the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. And that's for checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, because I never see him. That's all. Boss Man Wayne handles all of that. And he goes, and when he knows there's going to be mail in the box, he leaves his spider-proof gloves in the door, in the truck, and just takes in his trusty hickory Louisville Slugger in case he runs into a Klansman, because, you know, the Klan does their mail business there at that UPS store as well. So there's that method, too. If you want to do the mail thing, just send me a note, and we'll I'll let Boss Man Wayne know. So it's I knew this was going to happen before the program began. It knocked Dr. Bill completely off the air. The fine folks at Frontier Communications are having some trouble keeping their series of tube in Siri. We're experiencing just really, really ball-busting buffering here, and it's deeply frustrating, but I'm going to try to get through a program because there's too damn many morons not to. I mean, we really will be up to our armpits in morons if we let some of these go. In fact, up in the balmy north, run can 3-5 up, had a buffering that seems to come and go. By the way, I promise not to mention our mini in Eastern Ontario. We have any serious ones early May. And I'm seeing buffering just madness over there. It's all the way off, guys, but that's where. So, the resistance isn't just because Frontier are incompetent. They're not. They do their best. All of them have the flooding and have wrought hell upon their network. And, you know, if this is as bad as we get out of the disaster, we're really, really ending. We're very, very fortunate with our flooding. We're on high ground. Back to 1932, my grandma deciding where to build the house. And she did a darn good job. Get the number of houses or creeks right here. Creeks run below parts that we call them hot. And they can get hurt. So we're fortunate in our many around. Death toll. That's a phrase now. The death toll from the thousand Appalachia that are now a few years' floods. We're on the 6. It was and still is. You still see a lot of relief on them, the highway, the national going around. From a political injustice, November. Because he got something. You ask, well, take in guests at the our resort to people who, as a even feeding them. I'm magnanimous when you hire to say in Elk View, West Virginia Mall, which had out in 500 people. The La Quinta Inn has doubled its rates. Yeah, they went from $70 a night out. That's so consideration. Now that he owned and operated, well, we didn't do that. Still corporate and corporate money, so you're traveling in La Quinta. Yeah, I realize that room saying this is unsanned. I'm sitting here watching just 4 kb buffering at 64. It's pretty well. So sorry. My apology. No, Steve. It's a lot of us, a whole lot of us. No, these 1,000-year flood water is an immense, called an unkempt. Guy named Long Bill. As noted, was the first where the Meadow River runs through between Rain and Black Church, West Virginia, that was in the period has anything like this ever. If we had not utterly those cultures, they could tell us time it happened in there, as they had remembered come out, more is the peak. So, you know, a big part of the world here, but my God, we have more. And I thought, let's do this right. Okay, here we go. It's more on Monday. We might as well try to do it right as long as we've got this going for us. So,
these are still farmers. These are people land. No.
Hurry right up, you will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn, here in the Moran Monday tent, just your steps away from Carnival Midway. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will hear morans of all types, all descriptions. We have them all here. Birther morans, dither morans, ninther morans, tenther morans, booger-eating morans, replican morans, jabercher morans, clan morans. Every kind of moran under the sun. Conservative moran. Pragmatic progressive morans, because we got one. Morans, Morans, one and all. Yes, indeed, yes, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. That's right, for less than 3 cents per hour programming, or a nickel or two, I don't do the friends so good. But for anybody who subscribes at a rate of $10 a month to keep the horn going, yes, indeed, you get access to all the Morans all the time. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, kiddies and cousins, moms and dads, come on in. Come on in with the warning, 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 warning. Keep children, small pets, European-style messenger bags, purses, wallets close to your body and a hand on them at all times. Even that iguana you won throwing pennies at a glass plate and ping pong balls into a fishbowl. Keep them close at hand because the Morans can get rabby. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really is. Moran Monday on the horn. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I'm a pragmatic, progressive Moran for getting us started. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. And I'm not at liberty to disclose the identity whence it came. But it deserves mention. A lot of utilities were knocked out by the flooding here. Internet, phones, power, gas lines were shut down, all sorts of stuff. But imagine the chagrin of one individual who, when the interweb tubes came back up and the phones came back up, heard the phone ring. And people are worried about other people during disasters and crises, and you never know what's going to be on the other end of a phone call. So this individual went, picked up the phone and said, hello. You know, that's what you do when the phone ring. Hello? And there was that characteristic silence that comes with programmed telephony. But silence was only a second or two long. Because that's when the robocall started. Vote for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton cares about you. She feels your pain. I do not know what content was of the robocall, but it was a pro-Hillary Clinton robocall being dialed into an area reeling from a natural and somewhat unnatural disaster. Because climate change is not natural. But no, really, the minute the phones came back on, the however many millions of dollars have been paid by the Clinton campaign to robocall people in West Virginia, and why you would do that, because she is going to get thumped in this state, whether you want her to or not. No, really, Hillary Clinton robocall to a disaster area. Hey, while you're digging out the mud and muck of being flooded out by climate change-induced flooding and flooding that it was made worse by clear-cutting around you, please, take a moment to think about voting for Hillary Clinton. She cares. I mean, what kind of script could you have that would make that okay? And what kind of incompetent neo-maxi Zoom dweeby back there at campaign headquarters didn't have the brains to look and say, oh, you know, maybe we ought to cancel the robocalls into the flooded disaster area that is West Virginia until maybe this is over with. What do you say we do that? No? Go ahead? People always want a robocall? Yeah, okay. But as I said, Jim Justice has, unless Republican nominee Bill Cole starts giving away cars, Jim Justice has won
the governor's race with his largesse of opening up the Greenbrier Resort to people displaced by the flooding. He also canceled, and I think the PGA had a big hand in this, the Professional Golfers Association, the Greenbrier Classic scheduled for next week. Because, well, the Old White, as that golf course is known, and I do mean white, it's been underwater for a while, and well, it's kind of hard to putt when there are bullfrogs leaping out of the cup on the number 12. Big difference between now and 4 years ago. Hard to believe it was 4 years ago. But on Wednesday, it will be 4 years ago to the day that, out of the blue, the derecho got cranked up somewhere out in the upper Midwest and blew across the continent in record time and slammed the living daylights out of this area. Mm-hmm. 3 years and 363 days right now. Now, back then when it happened, Jim Justice leveraged GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, to put every resource at his command into the Greenbrier Classic. So while 80-year-old women sweltered in 100-degree heat, ice was delivered to the Greenbrier. While people were without power, the National Guard was being used to pick up debris on the golf course. No, really, it happened. While West Virginians really, really were living on a prayer, Bon Jovi was warming up to sing at the concert there. And Jim Justice said, well, what the hell do you want me to do? Cancel the golf tournament? Well, yeah, people are suffering. So this time through, since he wants to be governor, and since he has had some sort of miraculous conversion in the last 4 years, whereby he was immediately transmogrified from a rock-ribbed Republican, which he had been all his life, to a member of the Democratic Party, well, he opened the doors of the Greenbrier for the dispossessed and fed them and has been feeding them and has canceled the golf tournament. Not good optics there when you want to be governor and there's, God knows, thousands of people homeless to be swanning around the golf course with the PGA. So, I'd say the governor's race is his. I am informed that the robocall that came in was, in fact, Hillary Clinton's voice saying, I'm not running against Donald Trump. No, wait. I'm not running against Donald Trump. I'm running on the issues. That, I am told, is when the person who had picked up the phone just hung the hell up. Really? Really? Hey, Robbie Mook. Isn't that your name? Robbie Mook. Get a clue. Don't robocall people in disaster areas, you twit. Bob, I mean, there's a lot of phone numbers. Yeah, and it's IT, you know. There's somebody who could have said, okay, let's just call West Virginia out of the robocalling list or reschedule or something. People are out there dying, and they don't need to hear a Hillary robocall. It might make people hate her even more here than they already do. which they already do. I mean, Jesus, she might wind up getting beaten 80% to 20% in this state. She might get beaten 75-25 or 70-30. That's how bad it's going to be for her here. I mean, if her campaign had any brains, they wouldn't waste a first penny. They wouldn't waste money on a damn yard sign in this state. But robocalls into a disaster area? Oh, Margaret. I hope the buffering has calmed down some. It seems to have on this end. That's what it looks like, at least. So that's our first, and, you know, it gives me no pleasure to nominate Hillary and her campaign for Moran Monday. But damn, do we just run away from reality? Hey. But we got other Morans. And, you know, I reiterate, she may be a Moran, but she's my party's Moran. And I'm a-voting for her. Just if for no other reason to keep her from being beaten 99% to 1% and maybe change it, a few of us, to 98% to 2%. Meanwhile, Brother Usher Steve up in New York says, the Greenbrier... he said family used to say it that way. The Greenbrier generosity. If I were cynical, I'd say it sounded like a really big tax write-off. I don't think you have to be cynical to say that, because it'll be there. It will be written off. And you know, all the cancellations and everything at the hotel, gone. That'll be written off, too. Because we do that for business. In Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe. Amen. Use no hooks. Right. Thank you very kindly, Robert in Australia, pointing out stream good in Oz now. Yeah, it does seem to have settled down. I hope it stays that way. Oh, Morans. 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 We got them. Oh, we do. Let's see here. What sorts of Morans? Remember back when... thank you. Steve from Georgia Stan saying, I was worried about you, Bob. So glad you're loud and proud. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Tried to make sure people knew that we were okay, you know, via the broadcast and via Facebook and social media, whatever. But it has been, it's been scary around here. Amazingly, we have even managed to keep electricity on when a lot of people do not have it and have not had it. 4 years ago during the derecho, electricity was out for in excess of 2 weeks. Yeah. But so far, so good. Although I must admit, I got a sinking feeling in my gut this morning when the warning on my phone went off. And, hey, flash flood watch. Because we had two beautiful days. You could not have asked for two more gorgeous days in late June than what we had here in Appalachia Saturday and Sunday. Not one of those cloudless days, but one of the ones where the big cotton ball, puffy white clouds just float by in their stately immensity. And it was a little bit of a respite for people who needed to start the cleanup process. And for those who needed to continue in the grieving process. No, Morans for Moran Monday? Yes, we've got them. You remember back when pastor, brother, governor, ex-presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman Mike Huckstervey was squiring Sister Clerk Kim Davis around in her her benighted effort to keep people from who love each other from getting married in Round County, Kentucky. And remember how she got put in jail for contempt and was let out way too early? Well, an outfit called Rude Music sued pastor, brother, governor, former presidential candidate Mike Huckstervey for using their song Eye of the Tiger. Mm-hmm. And they won. Yay. The Huckstervey people said, well, no, we get to use it because it's a religious assembly. And, of course, being evangelical Christians, they were lying because they used the event where they played the song as part of the campaign, his campaign for president, and his campaign paid for the event. Therefore, it was not a religious assembly. So it looks like Rude Music is $25,000 to the better. At the maybe he can sell some more diabetes cure snake oil. Yeah, that ain't exactly pocket change, as Brother Deacon Gerald points out. Gerald checking in. I trust everything's still okay at the Shea Brother Deacon Gerald. But poor little Clendenin is gone. It's amazing. I mean, it just gone. And one wonders how those fiscal conservatives will handle the request for aid. I got to tell you, during the derecho, FEMA was about as useful as tits on a tricycle. I hope they will do better and bring in the FEMA trailers this time for people who have been made homeless. What else? Big doings today. Out of the Supreme Court, a victory for women. That Kennedy guy did not go along with the rat, Roberts, Alito, and Thomas, the S in rats being Scalia, who is still dead. No, he sided with the majority, and the Supreme Court of the United States struck down a really, really stupid moronic law in Texas Stan that was a backdoor attempt to shut down all means of women receiving an abortion. Not a 4-4, but a 5-3. This court is determined, it seems, where possible, to do its damn job. The Texas law would have required abortion providers, doctors, and the organizations, to have admitting privileges at local hospitals, which is okay. That's great, except for the local hospitals will not grant admitting privileges to the doctors. Yeah, see how that works? Yeah. And then an abortion center had to meet the same other standards as ambulatory surgical facilities, which was also burdensome. And holding that that the law was violative of Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992, insofar as it imposed an undue burden on providers of women's health resources, Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Kennedy said, nah. And the rat, Roberts, Alito, and Thomas, of course, had a hissy. And then, just in case you're wondering, assholes took to the social media. I don't know that they so much took to the social media as they just live there. Witness to wit, Todd Starnes. Yeah, he's a sleaze merchant with Fox, isn't he? The left won't be satisfied until there is an abortuary on every street corner. Ha, ha, see what he did there? Isn't that clever? Abortuary, huh? See, you take abortion clinic and you merge it with mortuary and you get abortuary. Hi, yeah, what an asshole. And then he just decided to work a little bit more plainly. Supreme Court sides with the killers of unborn babies. Can we take a minute for the art of word knowing? If the baby is unborn, kind of not, I'm talking semantics here, I admit it. Kind of not possible to kill it. Just, you know, saying. And then there's Laura Ingraham. Justice Kennedy once again joins the liberals to side with the butchers against innocent life. But as Pope Francis says, who are we to judge? And there were several references to Kermit Gosnell, the sleazy dude who ran a sleazy operation. Who is in no wise indicative of the whole of the of women's reproductive health care, but you'd never know that by looking and listening to what Republicans and right wing nuts have to say. The Heritage Foundation, headed by former South Carolina Senator Jim Dement. Said SCOTUS was wrong to strike down a reasonable law that protected women from unsafe abortion facilities like Kermit Gosnell's deadly clinic. There's only one problem with that statement. The law was not reasonable. It is unreasonable to impose impose standards such as that law contemplated upon facilities that clearly did not do anything that remotely would require them. Then there's Alex Griswold. I don't know who Alex Griswold is. I don't think I want to know. Wendy Davis is going to be unsufferable today. Correction, more unsufferable. I'll bet Alex Griswold was tittering merrily to himself when he did it. Correction, more unsufferable. No, correction, dickhead, insufferable. Not a long time practitioner of the art of knowing words, Alex Griswold. Morons come in all shapes and sizes, you know, they do, and. These just gave me a giggle. let's say you run a Froyo shop in Laredo, Texas. Mm-hmm. On the streets of Laredo. As I walked out in the streets of Laredo, as I walked out to get Froyo one day. Never mind. No more, no singing. Sweet Loring frozen yogurt. Was the location when Michelle and Jim Bob Duggar came over all peckish, you know, esulient, all hungry-like. Non-obligatory Monty Python reference. No, they dragged along with them one of their many children, in this case, Jinger, and her boyfriend, Jeremy Vuolo. And they took a picture there with one of the proprietors at Sweet Loring Froyo. And Sweet Loring Froyo, they said, they're at Sweet Loring Froyo. They said, oh my God, we've had a brush with fame. We've had a brush with celebrity. Oh my God, Duggars. Really? Duggars. Even maybe one of the ones that got, you know, incestuously molested by her brother. Cool. So they immediately put the picture up on Facebook. Bad move. Hashtag Froyo oh no. No, I'm just making that up. So, no sooner did they put it up than people started asking questions at Sweet Loring, because everyone's proud to have bigoted cult members who enabled their son to molest four of their daughters for 2 years there. Not sure I would brag about this family visiting you there. Not a family to admire. Ixnay on the Ugger days. Here's a good one. Did they take your money, film a show, and call it the Lord's work? So, just be aware. If the Duggars walk into your place of business, and you have a picture of you doing anything except showing them the door and giving them the bum's rush, you might not want to, you know, post it on Facebook. Now, of course, because they're being persecuted, I'm sure the Sweet Loring Froyo people will put up a crowdfunding campaign, and maybe they can not serve dessert at the same gay weddings that god-awful pizza place in Talibandiana isn't going to serve pizza. Because, you know, God is love, y'all. Yes, that's right, that's right. The Texas abortion law, Brother Deacon Gerald, was struck down by the Supreme Court. Note coming in from Scott in San Diego. Sleazy anti-choice tactics, as bad as the tactic was, that saw Texas attempting to pull a fast one vis-a-vis currently existing federal reproductive rights law, one would be hard-pressed to find a rhetorical ploy that out-sleazes this gem from several years ago. Projections of shortfalls in Social Security Medicare ignore massive impact from abortion. What? Okay, we're going to have to open this one. That's just a little too interesting. Come on, we can do it. Well, maybe we can't. I don't know. Oh, I hate it when things like that happen. apparently my mail account was struck down, too. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a reminder, here in about 16 minutes or so, we'll open up the phone lines for your calls and commentary on this Moran Monday. The buffering, by the way, happily seems to have slowed. And a reminder, since we were buffering so hard at the beginning, it may not have even gotten out. We are running downhill to the end of June and the Beat the Swede Challenge. If we make our fundraising goal every night this week, or, well, up through Thursday, we will beat the Swede. We are on track to do that, but it has to happen. So, we've got three more slots in Chairman and CEO Harold's Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Challenge from Friday. There are three slots remaining there at $50 apiece. And then, and very kind thanks again to Catherine for getting us started this evening. Thank you, Catherine, very much. So hopefully we'll be able to do that, and we've got, like, you know, three slots to go this evening. I'm sure Catherine would love to have some company in helping to keep things going here, because we've got, you know, middle of the month bills to pay at the end of the month. Oh, let's see. What else? What else? Because there's so damn much. Oh, getting back to the flooding for just a moment. Talk about your morans. We have talked from time to time on this program about the budget crisis that has been facing almost level West by Coal, Virginia, Stan. And they finally managed to pass a budget after Gert had to veto one Republican attempt. And, of course, we're going to balance the budget on the back of smokers. Not people who eat food. Just it is now the patriotic duty of everyone. It's the patriotic duty of everyone who lives in West Virginia to start smoking, because that's how we're balancing the budget. If you don't smoke in West Virginia, you're just a goddamn freeloader. At least that's what the governor and the legislature seem to be saying. I would prefer people not start smoking. But if that's how we're going to fund government, well, we are all in this together now, aren't we? So there's that. But, no, the budget crisis included lots of cuts. And, of course, also on the chopping block was the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, which has been understaffed and underfunded going way back to the Joe Manchin administration, when he saw full staffing of the West Virginia DEP as, you know, just another... just another way to harass our poor, under-attack coal industry. And so positions like inspectors and stuff were let hang fire. Might be nice to have a few more of those right now, though, because... there's all kinds of nasty shit in that fetid soup that went swirling and roaring around through communities in West Virginia, because that weren't just rain. That was everything that the rain caused to overflow and flood, like coal industry settlement ponds and injection sites for fracking waste. And, yeah, anybody who was... Oh, I was talking to somebody earlier today who was talking about her sister having to wade home you know, about 300 yards, 1,000 feet. She waded home through waist-deep water, and she said, but it wasn't water, because you could see the slimy sheen from the oil and the gas and all the other stuff just on the top of the water. She said it stunk when she got out of it. But, you know, we're just not going to worry about that. Because, well, I mean, our extractive industries are having a hard enough time as it is. Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take before the hillsides dry out enough to go in and clear cut some more. So we'll try to pay attention to that and figure out just exactly well, we'll never know exactly what the impact of this stuff is, because it's almost impossible to know. Because it would be bad for business if we actually tried to find out. Yeah. The official, I misspoke, the official death toll is at 20 confirmed fatalities, 3 people missing. Mercifully, 2 people who were thought to have been swept away in a camper in Greenbrier County, who were presumed dead, were found alive. A flash flood warning just closed about an hour ago in Roan, Calhoun, Clay, and Braxton counties. There could yet be more rain between now and, say, the end of the program. Shelters. Just to give you an idea of scope, shelters at Richwood Town Hall, Summersville Baptist Church, Wilderness Fire Department, Birch River Elementary School, Supply Distribution Centers, Jordan Chapel in Canvas, West Virginia, Birch River Elementary School, and Wilderness Volunteer Fire Department. Another in the process of setting up in Summersville. As one, as a news release from the Fayette County Sheriff's Office, my county, said, there have been reports of looting. The Nallon Russellville area suffered extensive damage during the floods. Many citizens of this area have lost everything. We are now receiving reports of looters and thieves coming into the area. This will not be tolerated. Will not be tolerated, being in all caps. According to the Charleston Gazette, the release said sheriff's deputies would begin extra patrols. And here's the, this is interesting. And county residents were also carrying guns patrolling the area. Sheriff Steve Kessler said anyone we catch looting will be arrested and jailed. If the residents of this area catch you first, you may not make it to jail. So that means that Fayette County Sheriff Steve Kessler has tacitly given a nod to murder. Now, let's do remember, please, that the use of deadly force in defense of property is not legal in this state. Debris collection stations have been set up. One of the most poignant photos I saw did not even have a person in it. It was just a pile of filth and debris with a ragged American flag sitting atop it. Some of the photographs are absolutely astonishing. If you go over to WV Gazette Mail, GAZETTE, Mail, MAIL, .com, you'll see some of the photographs. The piles of debris. It's astonishing. So we can talk about that if you want. Oh, by the way, I talked about the budget problems in West Virginia, and somehow or another, I imagine a lot of people don't want to hear any more about water. But here's what happens when you've got a teabagger legislature that won't do its job. There won't be any. I mean, the nice thing about a swimming pool is that the water is presumably clean and doesn't have any fracking waste drizzling into it or anything like that. And, like, you know, your skin won't start spontaneously rotting off if you get in it. Well, because we've got a teabagger legislature here in West Virginia, there will be no kids in swimming pools at Kanawha or Cabway Lingo State Forest this year, because the swimming pools have been closed. The same applies to Babcock and Twin Falls State Parks. Babcock not far from me. The 9-hole golf course at Pipestem State Park. Because the Division of Natural Resources, which runs the state parks, has about $1 million budget shortfall in the coming year. Yeah. Jobs are being eliminated. Jobs are being consolidated inside the DNR. Secretary of the Department of Commerce, Keith Burdett, said, we remain concerned about the future of the park system. We don't need those anyway, do we? I mean, if somebody's going to state parks, that just means they're not working. And they need to be working. 2 minutes. 2 minutes before the hour, and Brother Deacon Gerald says, tell Catherine to scoot over a little bit. I'll join her on the front row tonight. So, Catherine, you've got some company with Gerald. And the two of them would like to have more company still. And we've got about $140 to go in fundraising this evening. And remember, three more slots are open in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Roundup Challenge. Your $50 gets rounded up to $100, courtesy of Chairman and CEO Harold. Thank you, Harold, again. Now, you know how to reach the program, should you wish. The stress line, 304-663-4676, will get you right into the program. Here, let me do something, because it's been kind of a thing lately that this thing forgets that it's supposed to be paired. See, it did it again. And it is. The stress line is paired and ready to receive your call, should you so choose. And you can also reach us, reach the program, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. So let's take a little break. Light up the lines if you so choose, or, well, hey, no, we've got, in my father's house are many more ends, and we can do that. It's all entirely up to you. This is listener-supported, emphasis on the phrase, listener-supported, independent, progressive, conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. from the anti-mountaintop removal compilation, Still Moving Mountains. Who brought the flood? Powerful, huh? Indeed, indeed. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Gerald. Gerald says, yeah, nothing says so much about a civilized society as rampant vigilantism. Mm-hmm. But, you know, apparently that's okay. Oh, what? More Ann Monday. And plenty to work with. Jesus God. Is anybody out there paying attention? Now, I know. When disaster strikes, the American Red Cross is quite busy. But, okay, so at least we know we won't need any of these at the Cabway Lingo or Kanawha State Forest or Babcock or Twin Falls swimming pools, because the swimming pools are not going to be open this year, this summer. But the American Red Cross has been putting out some pool safety posters for the kiddies for the summer. It features a floating whale with a whistle around the neck that it doesn't have, and holding the whistle with one of its flukes. And it says, be cool, follow the rules. And it shows a swimming pool scene. There are all kinds of people around the swimming pool, as you would well imagine. There's a little diving board, and there are a couple of lifeguard stations with umbrellas over them. And again, it says, be cool, follow the rules, and there's a sign there, it says pool rules. And then there are children doing things right. For instance, one little girl is holding both handrails as she gets up on the diving, as she prepares to get on the diving board to jump in to dive. She's following another kid who has just dove and is diving headfirst into the pool, and that kid's labeled not cool. Then there's another kid pushing another kid into the pool. That kid is also labeled not cool. Well, let's put it this way. There are red arrows saying not cool, and they're pointed at the little black kids. Not cool, black kid. Not cool, black kid. Not cool, black kid. Mm-hmm. Really, you can't make this stuff up. In 2016, nobody noticed that. NBC News inquired of the Red Cross, and the Red Cross said, going forward, we are developing more appropriate materials that are more representative of our workforce and the communities we serve. Our aquatic instructors have been notified of these concerns, and we will advocate that our aquatic partner facilities remove the poster until revised materials are available. Wasn't it the integration of swimming pools that led Strom Thurmond to abandon the Democratic Party in 1948? So that's 52, 62, 66. That's 68 years. And this poster, yeah, still out there. Big red arrow pointing at the black kid. Not cool! Gotta love it. Hey, let's run over to the stress line and see what's happening with Jim in Louisiana, Stan. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's up, Bob? Well, we're enjoying a little bit drier weather than you at the moment. I mean, we're supposed to have rain, but looking like it blew over.
I'm hoping it does the same here.
Well, I mean, from what I've heard you describe where you live, you're kind of safe, but it sounds like it's pushing it water-wise. I mean, You're not in danger of flooding.
No, I mean, we're not. We are on literally higher ground. We're at the top of a little knoll, and you know, there's a higher hill above us that could potentially become a problem. But if it becomes a problem, then it's ark building time.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
No, I did believe you. Believe you me. I understand. So, you know, I mean, people. But you know, this isn't one of those situations where you look at people who build stuff on floodplains and go, "Well, damn, didn't you know?"
Yeah.
Because there's no recorded. I mean, for a lot of what happened, there was no recorded history of this. Maybe they'd had some flooding, but nothing of this scope.
Yeah, well, I mean, here in Louisiana, Stan, I mean, this is, I'm across the lake, so it's a little bit higher. But, you know, if we had a downpour, and I guess like the downpour you had a couple of days ago, it seems like you got that weather system just doesn't seem to want to move.
Oh, it parked. It parked.
Huh?
It parked.
Yeah.
And it didn't just park. It was heavy laden, 5 to 8 inches in an hour in some places. I think I saw.
Damn.
And I mean, I was out in it, and it was astonishing rain. I mean, it was raindrops the size of silver dollars when they splattered against the windshield.
Yeah. So when you see that makes you have no doubt about climate change, right?
Well, no. And in my case, it's climate change and clear cutting and what we've done to the things that are supposed to stop the rain. You know, Creedence Clearwater Revival asked, who'll stop the rain? Well, trees will, if they're there. But if it's just a mountain, an Appalachian mountain without any trees on it, is a big ball of mud wanting to go somewhere.
Well, I like the way you open the show with Hillary and those robocalls right during or right after the huge flood. I mean, as you know, I'm going Green Party. And I'm going to go ahead and change my registration for whatever it's worth, for however long it's worth. But what are they thinking? I mean,
they're not. That's the thing. It's a campaign that's being run on autopilot. Because it's her turn, and America, even looking across the pond at the Brexit vote, you know, America could never be that stupid. I mean, we'd never be so stupid as to actually elect Donald Trump to be president of the United States. I mean, after all, we didn't elect George W. Bush. Oops.
Well, I mean, if you look at it,
where the calls are concerned, you know, that's all computerized. And so you've got to have somebody go in and isolate out the West Virginia area codes and just take them out of the rotation.
Yeah, let's press a couple of buttons, if that many. Plus being a kind of financially challenged area, I wouldn't be caught. Well, I guess you want their vote, but... sometimes calling during a natural disaster isn't the swiftest move, but it's...
Yeah, it's even worse than calling during dinner time.
Yeah. What's the official story? Bernie's officially out? You think he's holding... Because I've heard he might be holding on because they're waiting for an indictment. We've already talked about that. You said there's no way the indictment's going through, right?
Right. And Bernie is, Bernie is not a simpleton. He's not going to, I don't think he's any more expecting an indictment than I am. He's very,
right.
Very savvy in the ways of government. So,
right.
Let's deal with it. Bernie is not going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. And even if Hillary Clinton were to be indicted, which she is not, let's remember, the nominee would not be Bernie Sanders.
All right, now, one thing I've noticed on Twitter, a lot of people, and these are all hardcore Bernie people, they're very, me included, they're very pissed off. I mean, that's one reason why I'm going over the Green Party on the 29th of July, just to kind of send a message. I might be there a week, a month, a year, but, I mean, I can still vote in the general, and I just want to kind of send a message for whatever it's worth, which is probably nothing to the big DNC, but do you think if they experience enough of a people leaving the party? Or,
nope. Nope.
That's not going to change him?
Nope. Because as long as Wall Street's writing the checks, they don't give a damn.
You're kind of making me lose faith in democracy.
how can you lose faith? How can you lose faith in something that's never existed?
Good point. I knew you were going to say that. That kind of sets you up. You owe me one last.
Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. Here, hold on. Half-hearted cowbell for setting me up with the democracy comment.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Be sure to tip your bartenders and cocktail waitresses.
And don't try the veal.
I guess this is just the way life goes. You kind of get these optimistic moments where you think, yeah, this would really be if this happens. And it doesn't even... And I guess you don't think much about those 12 lawsuits or whatever. They're not going to change anything.
No. And I mean, it's...
The thing about that, when I think about it, is you're still dealing with Democrats and Republicans, and they don't want a third party trying to edge in or a quote-unquote independent, he's running as a Democrat, cutting in on your action. Do you think that's part of it?
No, it's just that, Wall Street will tolerate so much and not a whit more. So, you know, they've got their candidate. And she knows exactly how far she can go before she pisses them off and they stop writing checks.
God, what a horrible candidate. I'll tell you the truth. They're two horrible freaking candidates. It's possible.
Oh, yeah, no, this is an election where you just about have to have a hazmat suit to walk into the voting booth. But by God, get the hazmat suit and go and vote. Because among other things, and this is the curse of presidential politics, it's all we talk about. When in fact the real job of governing happens, you know, all politics is local. And so, you know, if Hillary has no coattails, for instance, in West Virginia. She has no coat. She just about has no clothes. I mean, it is going to be a stomping of epic proportions.
I understand that.
And so that's really, but that's really dangerous, because that could also, in turn, make it highly likely that we wind up with two more years of this godforsaken teabagger legislature that wants to raise West Virginia up with raw milk.
Right, and then most people don't have the time or the ability to keep up with that. You know, the down party elections.
Well, you know, down ballot's not sexy. It's not exciting.
I mean, I've noticed myself in voting a lot. You know, and I don't have time to look at every election, but I would generally... Pick Democrat, anything but Republican. I think I've picked Republican for real low seats two or three times. One time was just like because I just moved back, and I'm just like, well, let me just keep my voter record. And the weird thing was there were only two Republicans running for the office. That's how whacked out it is over here. So I just picked, you know, closed my eyes and, you know, picked a Republican, you know. But, now, I thought things were going to get good, better in my life. What the hell is going on, Bob?
We got screwed.
I thought this was going to be the generation. Wasn't this the age of Aquarius when we were growing up?
Yeah, but then the age of Aquarius grew up and got jobs and became corporate insiders and said, "I got mine, F you." It's like the way the Brexit vote broke out. All the young people said, "Yeah, we should probably stay in the EU," and all the boomers said, we want to break things just to watch them break.
You don't think that was a good move? England did. I mean,
hell no.
Yeah,
it's going to be a disaster. If I'm wrong, I will happily admit it. But there's no way that works out well. I mean, Scotland's getting ready to go because Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain in the EU. Why should Scotland remain a part of the United Kingdom when the United Kingdom is running contrary, and by that I mean England, doesn't want to, when England and Scotland don't want to do the same things, and we're not living in the 15th century anymore, and, you know, some creepy English inbred king can't march across the border and enforce his will by blood, why should the Scots stay with the English? I mean, it's going to be weirder than hell. I mean, and Northern Ireland, like I said, is one of those places you don't want to be weirder than hell. But there's going to be checkpoints and border crossings and passports and all the stuff that goes with, you know, hard borders between Northern Ireland and Ireland. What a party that'll be. Well, they voted, Northern Ireland voted to stay in the EU, too. Oh, I hope. And, you know, one can only hope that there's not a return to what were euphemistically referred to as the Troubles.
Okay, this is something kind of totally off subject. It's kind of to do with economics. The thing I don't understand is when, and this is, goes on throughout the world, about where they want to cut down. I mean, government employees spend their money. So I don't see what's necessarily wrong with government employment. I mean, you've been hearing this since Reagan, and then the whole idea of turning it over to, air quotes, private enterprise, which doesn't seem to do much better. Just like whenever you turn over basically government functions, and then you turn it over to a private enterprise corporation that supposedly is going to run it for less, is there a rational reason for doing that? I say no. To me, that's insane. Because you can't.
You're right, Jim. Because, you know, there's something happens in people's minds when they get stressed out enough. Have you ever seen an infant throw a tantrum and just pick up a toy and smash it onto the ground, regardless of the consequences?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's the Brexit vote. Sometimes people get so frustrated, and they are and they are almost uniformly in those instances motivated by baser human emotions, and so they just decided to smash the UK all to pieces just to watch where the pieces fell.
Right. But I can think of American votes where they've done that, where they turn over the
2010, 2012, 2014 congressional elections. Yes.
Okay. Well, at least it's good to. And you know what? I can't listen to Hartman or Stephanie Miller anymore. They're just too. They're too Hillary. I mean, I can understand they're pro Hillary, but it's just I can't.
Well, I mean, Jim, I'm pro Hillary to the extent that I don't want Donald Trump to be elected.
I got you, but I mean, just the way they do it, I guess they.
But I'm not gonna. But I'm not gonna get. I'm not gonna get behind this microphone every evening and say that she shits ice cream, okay? Because it's not true. She's not some awesome progressive candidate. She's not some awesome candidate at all. In point of fact, she's a terrible candidate who would not have a prayer against anybody but Donald Trump. She's the Washington Generals going up against the Harlem Globetrotters if Curly and Metal Arc Lemon both have broken legs.
Right. So you think she'll win?
She should. But then again, you'll never go broke underestimating, I don't know what it means. The American people can do some really stupid things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they already did that by blown up. Well, actually, they didn't really do it, but I mean, when the election was stolen. But that's another talk for another time. I'm going to let you go, let somebody else get through there. Just had to get my 2 cents in.
I'm so glad you did, Jim. I am so glad you did.
All right. Disconnect.
All right. Later. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana Stan. And from there to just down the mountain, not a fur piece at all from where I am. And there is the head of the Building and Grounds Committee of the Cathedral of Common Sense. That's Brother Deacon Gerald. Hey, Gerald.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
How in the world are you?
I'm just fine and dandy.
Everything's okay at the mansion?
Everything's okay here at the manor. It hit all around us, but no, everything's good here. Didn't even lose power.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it was kind of, it blinked a couple of times. It's kind of amazing, really.
Yeah, usually, you know, I'm usually one of the first ones to lose power for some reason. You know, that great infrastructure we have here. yeah, the flooding. I mean, that's, wow. You know, I've lived here my whole life. And, you know, I've seen the river flood. I've seen a couple floods. I think the last big one was 2007, I think. 2007 or 2004. You know, we've had a couple, but never one like this.
No, and in what, which, what stream was it that wiped out Clendenin?
The Elk River.
Was it? Oh, yeah, of course. It was the Elk. Sure.
Yeah. The same one that was contaminated about 3 years ago.
I bet things are real interesting down at the water intakes right now.
Well, the river's back down. It's not, I mean, it's up muddy, but it's not up like it was. It went down really quick, really fast.
Yeah, because it had the canal to absorb it.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, I don't know. Somehow they deal with it down there. I don't know exactly how that works. But, yeah, it's down now to somewhat normal levels. I'm sure it's up, but not flooding up.
Yeah, I posted a photograph on Facebook over the weekend showing Somersville Lake, which
I've seen that one.
Yeah, a little Long Point. Yeah, a little geographic feature called Long Point, which is a cliff that's about 90 feet above the water, and it was about 20 feet above the water.
Yeah, that's you don't really realize how big that is until you're down there on the water in a boat. I mean, we've gone around through there a lot.
Yeah, 90 feet is 9 stories.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty big.
And of course, like, you know, fish in the streets.
Yeah. Someone works for the Corps had posted some pictures and shared some information. Obviously no boating is allowed on the lake until further notice. As if you needed to be told that, but apparently some people
did. Some people do.
What was it? 60 acres of drift had washed in there. They were going to try to get that cleaned up. Because, you know, this coming weekend's the big weekend for Somersville Lake.
Oh, yes, it is.
And I don't know how well that's going to work. Are they going to get the lake down to summer pool in time?
They're kind of constrained by how much the river below the dam can withstand, and they had spillways open because to relieve the pressure on the dam, because it's not supposed to do that.
Right. Yes, it's a big dam. It's a damn big dam.
It's Gad Dam.
Gad Dam. That's right. Most people don't know that. Most people don't know that.
Yeah,
dam,
Somersville Lake is basically a man-made lake that was created on top of a lot of old farms and towns and things like that. And where the dam is was a community called Gad.
G-A-D.
Yes.
And traditionally, the Army Corps of Engineers would name the lake the dam after the community that it displaced.
Gad Dam.
Gad Dam. But apparently...
Yeah, not here.
Yeah, they did.
We're a little too Jesus-y.
Yeah, we're not the buckle of the Bible Belt, but we're, you know, we're like three holes out.
we're that sort of worn out, wallered kind of hole
where the crease is in the belt, where it's in the same spot all the time.
Precisely.
I mean, the flooding has affected me personally, but with a lot of my friends, you know, close friends, a lot of them are homeless now. You know, they're Clendenin, the town that I grew up in, which I don't live in now, is basically wiped out.
It does. Yeah, I mean, it's not there anymore.
I mean, everything that was in the town proper, in the town of Clendenin proper, was flooded and is ruined. It's just there's so many pictures and it's unbelievable. You know, we've seen floods before, and floods are always bad, but this one was extraordinary. I guess would be the best way to describe that.
Thousand year.
Yeah, 1,000 years.
And see, I remember, and you probably do too, because, you know, similar neck of the woods. You probably remember the flood of 1997.
Yes.
And that was bad.
Yes, it was.
It was the last natural disaster to accompany the birth of one of our children. That's why we got the petition thereafter saying, please don't have any more kids. We can't handle the river of blood or the frogs and locusts.
Right.
But this is so far beyond that. And the big flood of 1985 in northern West Virginia, which was horrifying, could at least be attributed to the fact that a hurricane just parked, came on land, and then parked over West Virginia.
Yeah. Well, you know, usually, our flood control systems, and, you know, that's something else that a lot of people don't realize. The Elk River and the Kanawha River, which is part of the new Ngalle, up in your neck of the woods, are all controlled by flood control devices, i.e. dams.
Yeah.
Like Gad Dam and Sutton Dam and Bluestone Dam. So just imagine what it would have been like without those in place. But who needs infrastructure, right?
Well, just, you like, know, right.
Just like swimming pools in.
No, the free market can handle that kind of thing. If we need infrastructure, the free market will build it.
It's just like the swimming pools in the state parks. I mean,
because government never created any jobs.
That's right. The poor are the only ones that use them anyway. Right?
Bingo. You know, not cool people.
I'm looking at that right now. It's up on the screen. Because I saw that it was some Facebook post, and I thought, that is not cool. Literally, not cool. But
yeah. I mean, I just wonder what 79-year-old graphic artist did that one.
Well, how could you not, I can't even say anything. How could you not see anything wrong with this? But then, you know, maybe of the comments.
Well, because we're in post-racial America now, Gerald, and people don't see race. I mean, if they just happen to point the not cool signs at all the black kids, that's because they only judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin.
Well, here's some
so
of the
those
comments.
Not cool kids weren't not cool because they were black. They were not cool because their characters didn't have good content.
Right. You know, the Facebook comments are just hilarious.
Precious. Yes.
Yeah. Like so and so here. I'll not mention any names, but if you go there, you'll probably see it. Some people can find racism in just about everything. Of course, then
because
the next
it's in just about everything.
Then the next commenter under that person says, yes, how odd that people should find racism in racism. You are really not very bright, to put it mildly, are you? You know. So, yeah. Well, I'm not racist, but, you know, those are the qualifiers.
Love those.
Yeah, I'm not racist, but.
That's one of those where that's one of those where you just hope that that one Facebook guy chimes in and says, "You sister fisting meth gobbler."
Well, you know, when they say, when that is uttered in my presence, I want to say stop. Just stop right there. Don't go any further before you make some kind of racist comment.
You're in the hole. Stop digging.
Yeah, just please stop. So, but you know, I really don't know what the in your end of the counting, your end of the state. What I know there was some flooding in that area, but it was not as bad, was it?
Well, up the holler got a little bit dicey. Everything's over toward, I mean, you know, Shades of Death Creek got up into the road. How's that for a cool name?
I like that.
Shades of Death Creek.
That's classy.
Now, I mean,
an injection well on it, does it?
I believe so, yeah. maybe it doesn't. But it got, the nasty part, you know, the Meadow River. Over and everything, I was told everything from Sam Black Church to Raynell.
Yeah, Raynell, I know it got hit. I saw some of the reports on it. And poor Richwood.
Poor Richwood, which was deliberately, I mean, that's one of those places that's kind of a mistake.
Well, you know, they were talking about Summit Lake, and I don't know if you've ever been there.
I have not.
Well, it's clear on top of the mountain. I mean, you just don't get any higher. And they said that it was overspilling. I guess that's what they call it when it goes out of the spillway. It's an earthen dam lake. I don't know how big it is. It's not real big, but I'm
big
thinking,
enough.
Well, how the hell? I mean, it's clear back on top of that mountain. I mean, it takes a half an hour to get back there from the main road. And I'm like, where the hell does that water come from? Because it's not running off the mountain. Because it's on top of it.
It's not running uphill.
I don't know. I don't understand. But then again, I'm not a meteorologist or a hydraulic engineer or any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, you'd have to see the area where, like, in Greenbrier County, because it's kind of a broad valley, and there's a lot of floodplain, and there's a lot of creeks that run through that otherwise flat land. And when you live in West Virginia with so many hills, you look at that flat land and you say, damn, that's pretty.
That'd be a nice place to put a house.
And then you think, no, it wouldn't.
That's right.
That creek's going to get out. That creek, sooner or later, that creek's going to get out of its banks.
More often than not. Yeah, I know the schools, there were four schools here up the river. My old alma mater had like 4 feet of mud in the first floor.
Herbert Hoover get hit?
Yeah. Herbert Hoover, Bridge Elementary, Elkview Middle, and I didn't know about the Clinton Elementary. Evidently had some damage because it's kind of up on a bank. I didn't think it got up into there, but apparently it did.
Well, that's why this was a 1,000-year flood.
Yeah, I mean, you know. They don't just build schools in floodplains. I mean, well, not generally. I mean, they build them below a sludge impoundment, but that's different.
Well, the sludge impoundment kind of came to that school. Well, you get the idea.
Capitalism.
Because money.
Because money, that's right.
But no, I mean, there's... You are somewhat in a mountainous area like Appalachia. You're somewhat limited in what you can do,
and in many
instances, you take the path of least resistance.
As we've discussed before, you know, between you and I, what is it? 60 miles at most.
Yeah,
but it's a 2-hour drive.
Precisely.
You know, you don't
long way to go for some chips and dip, Gerald.
Yeah, I hear you. it's funny because I don't know where else in the country that people do that. But well, how far is it to Wheeling? Oh, 3 hours. You know, not 160 miles or whatever it is. Oh, 3 hours.
You know, and it's a damn day trip to Martinsburg.
Oh, God.
I'd rather take three whippings than one drive to Martinsburg.
You know, I remember when before we got all these fancy four-lane highways, which aren't really fancy compared to some of the flat states. Like a trip to Logan from Charleston was, I mean, that's an all-day trip. And now, you know, you're there in an hour. And Williamson will, you know.
You can't get there from here.
Yeah, pack a suitcase because you ain't coming back tonight.
Yeah, well, better take the train.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather lived in an era, my grandfather never had a driver's license.
Well.
Because when he wanted to go to Charleston, he went down and he got on the train.
Just, 50 yards from where my house is was a set of train tracks, which have been long since taken up and abandoned. My neighbor down the street, you know, tells stories of when they were kids, that's how they went to town. You know, the train ran two or three times a day, and they get on there, and it cost a nickel or 15 cents or whatever it was, and they'd ride to Charleston and do their thing, and then they'd come back in the evening. And that was how you got around, which, you know, would not be a bad thing now. But as soon as we figure out a way to privatize that, because capitalism.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, have you ever driven 60 on past, Hyco? Up over Big Sewell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Starting, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I noticed that there just weren't any trees left on those mountains.
Capitalism.
And stupid.
Well, you know, one that comes to mind, if you're ever in the Monongalia National Forest is up on the scenic highway. There's the little placards they put out on Black Mountain about how that came to be, where you said it the other night. You know, we don't just select cut, we cut it all, baby. And, you know, there's nothing there to hold the dirt when you take all the trees off. And it just washes away. And that's how the mountain got its name, Black Mountain. Because they had pictures of, you know, old pictures of the lumberjacks with their big cross-cut saws and just huge timber. Something you wouldn't see nowadays. I mean, it's extinct.
Yeah, the giant American chestnuts.
Right, yeah. They were probably those. I don't remember. And then they'd float them down the river and to the sawmill and saw them up. And that was just the way it was. Just like when, you know, the little family coal mines, they'd wheel it out, wheel the gob out and just dump it over the hill. Kind of what they do now, only on a larger scale. After they blast it off.
Yeah.
And then wash it. We have to wash coal. I remember you were talking about that last week.
Yeah. it astonishes me that, and maybe it shouldn't astonish me, Gerald, but it astonishes me that in 2016 we still think clear cutting is cool. I mean, it's not like climate change where there's, you know, there's a paid industry out there saying, oh no, there's no such thing. Everybody knows what clear cutting does. And there's 150 years or more of evidence of it. And it still happens.
Yeah, it still happens. Why? That's the question. Why does it still happen? Probably for the same reasons that we still dump the poison into the streams from the coal mines. Because that's the way it is. Job creators.
Because there's no other way to do it.
Right.
You just take them big old timber scissors up and you just start snipping the trees at the root.
Oh, yeah. You just load them on the truck and haul them out of there. Send them to the pulp mill. What's not any good, you send for pulp wood. They make paper out of it and particle board and whatever. And there are a couple of those around here. Yeah.
Because, you know, and then there's, you know, and then mountaintop removal, of course, is clear cutting on steroids because they don't even care about profiting from the wood.
No, they just
pile that up, throw some diesel on it, and set fire to it.
Right. But they can only cut it from November to March or something like that, or they can't cut it from November. I can't remember what it is now because of the Indiana bats.
Yeah.
And you know that they're really pleased to have to wait on the bats.
You're like stagging bats.
Damn bats. Oh, I'm sure there's the bats costing me my job and all that kind
so
of stuff.
So are you and I of like mind on the fact that Jim Justice probably just won the governor's race?
Oh, I'd say. I kind of figured it all along. Money. That's all that matters. It's the same way with the presidential race. Money. And any other race.
But I'm more than a little bit nervous based on my conversation with Jim a few minutes ago, Gerald. There's no Democratic coattails. Unless they're Jim Justice's.
Yeah, and you know, that was something I heard you guys talking about that. I was waiting on the line. That worries me because, you know, when you step back and look at it, you and I talk the local stuff because we're local. That's really what matters, and that's what the right wing has realized and been done so well, especially through the Confederacy. If you control the state houses, you don't really need the Fed, do you?
No, and, because you can wreak all manner of mischief.
Yeah, and so if you can't control the Fed, control all the states, and that's exactly what's happening. And I don't know. When people, you hear that they're voting against their best interest, and I think you've made that argument, and I make it a lot. No, those people share the same interests. The ones that are voting these people into office, they share those same interests. That's why they get voted in.
I mean, you talk about Jesus and guns and the precious little fetuses.
Baby killing.
The precious little fetuses.
And the gays and the Muslims. Yeah.
And the potty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the potty. Haven't heard much about the potty here lately, have you?
I think it's just taking a little bit of a break.
So we'll probably hear more about it in November. Well, October, November.
Oh, it'll come back. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. What was the name of the place? Oh, the 400 jobs that was going to come up there right below you.
Oh, for the ammunition factory.
Yeah. What was the name of it? Oh shit, I can't remember.
I don't know. Death on Steroids Arms or something like that.
No, it wasn't that. Precision Arms or something.
Yeah,
Precision.
Yeah.
Some kind of shit like that. They should have named it Patriot or Freedom, you know, something like that.
Freedom was taken.
Well, a few of us were sitting around talking here a week or so ago about that. And, you know, a lot of people don't remember, but our teabagger legislature tried to slip a tax break in for ammunition manufacturers during the legislature, the normal session. Of course, Gert vetoed that, and rightly so, you know, with the – I think he said, you know, why should they get a break when we have so many other industries that don't get a break? So I think me thinks a little politics was being played there. That was a political move. And now we find out that Ranger Scientific, that's the name of it, has done this in two or three other states. I think Arizona and Texas. Now, my prediction, well, another person's friend of mine's prediction, and I agree with it. Long about the time the weather starts getting Irish.
Irish.
Well, I'm speaking in my native tongue.
I'm translating.
I wouldn't be a one bit surprised if there isn't some kind of groundbreaking ceremony up there. Funded, I'm sure, exclusively by the Koch brothers, just to gin up votes. You know, those jobs, those are $70,000 a year jobs.
You betcha.
T- right. $470,000 a year jobs. I don't know. Seems like a pretty good job.
Seems like seems like a lot of money.
Especially for a startup company that doesn't even have any assets.
Doesn't even have any product.
It doesn't even have any product. Transferred their patent to the Cayman Islands or whatever it was. So let's watch and see if something doesn't. If we don't hear more about that later in the year, closer.
Yeah, but
to the
doesn't
election.
It say everything in the world, Gerald, about the fact that it can we get a solar panel manufacturer in West Virginia? No. Can we get a wind turbine component manufacturer in West Virginia? No. We can make some bullets for some guns.
Specialty ammunition.
Yeah, specialty ammunition. Now, what the hell does that mean?
I don't know. Olympic, I think it was supposed to be Olympic shooter grade bullets.
Yeah, that's
harmonized,
that's just like 17 and 22 caliber, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, they're not shooshing on those cross country skis and then stopping and shooting a smooth bore 50 caliber muzzle loader.
No, I don't think they're, you know, jumping off the skis and cranking off a 7mm mag at a 12-point buck or anything either, you know. But
they breed the Boone and Crockett atypicals just for that.
Yeah, 7mm mags, or for the Olympic shooters.
For the Olympic shooting, yeah, because those are Olympic deer.
Right.
That's the biathlon, isn't it? The ski and shoot.
That's another thing with the natives of this area. You know, they want to hunt white-tailed deer, which is fine. But they go out and get the biggest damn caliber they need. They can get
elephant gun,
some big belted cartridge. You know.
Oh, I used to. No. Take it easy there. I used to stomp around in the woods with a 300 mag.
Good God, Bob! 300 mag.
Well, no, it was for ridgetop shooting. You know, where you're on one ridge top and you see Bambi about 4 miles away and you kind of lob the shells in at him.
Indirect fire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we invented it here.
Yeah. Just one of the most, let me tell a hunting story.
Absolutely.
I think the listeners will love it. In my youth, I used to hang around with some people who, well, they were a little wild. Let's put it that way. They were your typical hillbilly. I mean, really typical. So they said, hey, and they lived in a county kind of between you and I won't name it.
Click.
I said, yeah, said,
kind of knew that.
Hey,
knew that's where we were going.
Where
ding,
else,
ding,
right?
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding. You knew you had to be there, Calhoun. Well, anyway, squirrel season comes in. And, you know, I don't know if the listeners realize what it means when hunting season comes in this state. I mean, when deer season comes in, certain counties close schools.
Yes.
The first day. I mean, and that's not an exaggeration. That is the truth. Because if they were to have school, there would be no...
No one would be there. The girls, I mean, boys and girls alike, you know.
Right. And the teachers wouldn't be there either.
No, hell no.
So... Squirrel season comes in. They said, hey, won't you come up and hunt with us?
That's when you get out your squirrel howitzer.
He said,
squirrel mortar.
Yeah. He said, we'll go back on the ridge. We can hunt back on the ridge between so and so and so and so. I said, all right. So, you know, that Saturday morning or whenever it was, I came in. I got up early and I went up there and I met him and we hiked back in there in the dark. And I must have passed 400 people inside of 10 acres there, all hunting the same spot, the same damn squirrel. Well, long about daylight, you know what's going to happen. You already know. This is not fair.
I know.
So long about daylight.
Cue up the Tchaikovsky.
You start hearing reports of gunfire all through the county. I mean, over
sounds
the
like the goddamn Civil War.
You'd have thought it was a Civil War battle. Well, you'd hear a shotgun blast, you know, off in the distance. Boom! And then all 10 to 15 seconds later, you hear the shot falling down through the leaves around you. Where the crazy fuckers would just go out there and just start shooting up in the air. And, you know, that went on for about a half an hour. I said, guys, I got to go. But it was boom. It just sounded like rain all day long. And I said, man, never again. Never again will I hunt with those crazy fuckers.
Oh, no, no. This place. And it's worse, Gerald. It's worse because of Ohio. And this is not me gooning on Ohio. But it kind of is. In Ohio, you can't hunt deer with a rifle gun, or at least you couldn't.
Some parts of Virginia are the same way.
So they hunt. They have to hunt deer in Ohio with like a 410 and a pumpkin ball.
Right.
Well, so what fun is that? So you get all your Ohioans coming across to hunt in West Virginia where they can use rifles. And they can bring out their 300 mags and their, you know, their buck mortars and their doe howitzers, and it's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing I never hit any of them. I had a buddy who said I told this story before, but he said he heard some deer talking one day, and he said, I heard him. It was an old buck talking to a young buck, and he said, yeah, that Kincaid guy, if he takes aim at you, don't move.
Stand really, really
still. Be really still. He doesn't have a prayer of hitting you. But if you move, he might walk around into you. Now, he can kill you. He can absolutely destroy your world with a computer and a printer and a good fountain pen. But if you just stand real still and he's got a gun in his hand, you're okay.
When he touches off that 300 Win Mag, though, it
boom!
He's got bruises on his shoulder from where he jarred that shit out of it.
Oh, speaking of which, and I haven't thoroughly researched this, Gerald. Maybe you've already seen it.
I may have. I don't know.
I think it's true. I don't have the guy's name to hand, but you know, we talk about America's gun problem quite a bit on this program.
Oh, if you only lived here.
And I think rightly so. And now I find out that people are just wandering around my county carrying guns, looking for anybody carrying a piece of copper wire so they can blow them away.
What I said earlier still applies.
Yeah, vigilantism. Nothing says civilization quite like it.
Sanctioned by the local law enforcement.
Sanctioned by the high sheriff.
That's right.
That's what we call the high sheriff.
The high sheriff, yeah. Duly elected high sheriff.
Exactly. Tax collector of the county. Nobody realizes being sheriff can be a pretty good gig in a county here in West Virginia.
Well, sure.
Because you get a cut.
You get a cut. That's right.
You get to get your beak wet. But anyway, you've fired weapons. I've fired weapons. We've hunted. That kind of stuff. And so we've got at least a working understanding of firearms. Is that safe to say?
Yes, yes.
So in the wake of Orlando, some journalist who didn't know a muzzle from a breech decided he was going to go out and do some journalism.
About freedom protectors?
Yeah. So he went out and found somewhere that he could go and fire an AR-15. And then he set to writing about his experience, Gerald. And one thing he noted that it was that it beat the hell out of his shoulder.
An AR-15?
I know.
Wasn't a very big guy, was he?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a 223 round. It's designed to be easy to shoot.
Yeah, it's gas operated. Yeah, I just don't see a lot of pain from that. I mean, I've never fired an actual AR-15 that I can remember. Well,
no,
maybe I have.
No, I haven't. I fired an AK-47, but
you know. Yeah, I did too, and it was in 223.
Yeah, and it was
back before that that Clinton guy banned him.
Yeah, it was like it was like shooting a 22 with an attitude.
Yeah, I mean it. Yeah. It would be safe to say that a normal sized person could fire one pretty much all day.
Yeah. Well, this guy hurt his shoulder, and this is the see. I want us to have. I think we've got to have a discussion about, but it's got to happen. We're trying to perpetuate it. George Takei just started a new organization to talk about it. The firearms problem. Brother Usher Steve up in New York sent me a flyer from Gays Against Guns. So, you know, it's beginning. But we do not help our side of this discussion when we come across like a bunch of goddamn ninnies in the process. And the reason I mention this, and Brian Reznor is the one who put me onto this story, I was like, holy
crap.
You
mean a pansy-ass liberal?
An absolute candy-ass liberal. Because after he complained about how he got his shoulder hurt, then he took to talking about how, for a day or so after, he had the PTSD.
Oh, really? From a day at the range?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm no medical person.
I've had ringing in my ears, but that's because I forgot my sound suppressors.
Or my hearing protection, yeah. I'm thinking there was something going on there before he went to the range.
Oh, I'm thinking he's just an asshole.
Well, okay.
Trying to make the story about him.
Well, you know, we get into the
over-dramatizing something that is already dramatic enough.
And that's not that dramatic. I mean, really. Touching off a 300 Win Mag underneath a shelter at a gun range, that's dramatic. That gets attention. I mean, it wakes everyone up.
Yeah, it does.
Shooting an AR-15, eh. I mean, they're not overly loud. The report is not overly loud.
A lot of them have muzzle brakes on them.
Yeah.
And it's legal to put silencers on them now, so cool.
Yeah, if you pay the tax stamp. I mean, I don't know why you would want to, but whatever. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about gun control. You know, we talk about it. And the first thing that the NRA jumps out and says, oh, Obama's going to come and take your guns. And I keep thinking back to one of the memes I've seen on Facebook where it shows President Obama going up to the door and they put a little caption out from him, you know, cartoon caption. I'm President Obama. I'm here to personally take your guns. You know, that's kind of the way I feel about it. But look, nobody wants to take your damn guns. What we want to do is regulate the sale of the guns to people who shouldn't have them. I mean, that's all anyone's asking. Right?
Yeah. I think we would be a better country if we took the Australian approach.
Well, you know, baby steps.
Well, no, I mean, I just live in reality, and I know that is never going to happen here because we've got these racist white colonialist fantasies of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, and one of these days when it all falls down, we're going to have our guns, and we'll be able to live off the fat of the land. Even though if you had to live off the fat of the land in this country, the country would starve in about 6 months.
Well, my personal favorites are the Second Amendment. Second Amendment is to protect from an oppressive government, right? You know, we've talked about this before. Cletus and his AR-15 and his Glock 40 on his side out in the woods, and you know, all here comes a drone strike missile. You know, wipe his ass out.
Yeah, and by the way, I should mention, since you mentioned Cletus, Steve from Georgia Stan's dog Cletus is under the bed right now because it's thundering. I think it's more broadly applicable to a lot of Cleti.
Probably so.
Or Cletuses. Yeah.
Well, you know, that while we're talking about those people, a friend of mine who was native to this land and moved out west, namely California, and made a new life out there. Who I talk with a lot, a good friend of mine, is in an interracial relationship and has a child. He's white and she's black. And he was talking about the baby being due. This is several months ago. The baby's been born since then. Talking about coming home and the family and all the racist things that he was going to have to probably endure. And I said, no, it doesn't really work like that if you think about it, because I've seen it. Yeah, you get the white guy, the white family that's always talking down on the black person, and they all this and that, and then when it's their relatives, all of a sudden it's okay.
Yeah.
Or it's not okay, but they won't say anything to your face about it. I said, so don't worry about it. You won't have to confront anyone because they're too chicken shit to say anything. Yeah, they might talk shit while you're gone or behind your back, but they'll never say it in front of you. And so many times I find that type of scenario true.
Yeah, and it's also becoming more common within the culture, especially in the Bible banging, God loving, South.
Well,
because like here, it's always been there. I mean, let's remember, Thomas Jefferson's wife was half sister to the woman that he is alleged to have had an affair with after his wife died. Sally Hemings and his wife were half sisters. They had a common daddy.
Yeah.
Been going on for a while.
Yeah.
11 o'clock at night, just kind of slipped down to the quarters and not exactly an equal relationship. It smacks of sexual harassment and, rape. And then speaking of rape, there's always Strom Thurmond, who fathered an interracial child on the family maid whom he raped as a young man.
Yes. Former senator, deceased senator from South Carolina.
Yes. Still dead.
Still dead. But famous nonetheless. Just like our recently passed Robert C. Byrd.
And, there was as Sparky reminds me, there was a big deal out from the Supreme Court today in a 5-3 decision. Again, Elena Kagan writing that the federal ban of people with domestic violence convictions from owning guns is perfectly constitutional. And this, of course, is driving the NRA, the world's largest, most well-funded, most powerful terrorist organization, crazy. Because the NRA wants domestic abusers to be able to have access to firearms.
Well, they
because sometimes women are just asking for it.
Right. That was a family member, soon to be ex-family member. Why do you hit her? Because she gets in my face. Oh, yeah, that type of thing. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. The whole time I was growing up, it was very difficult. It's very difficult to be the only Democrat in a totally Republican family. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that can relate. But growing up, it was always talk shit about minorities and things like that. I mean, constantly. And when I got old enough to see for myself, I saw that it wasn't that way. And another one of those things was, the Democrats just want to take your guns. And I bought into that for a long time, Bob. I really did. Probably into my 20s anyway. And I kind of
Because it's back. Easy, Gerald.
Well, I kind of looked back and I said, well, wait a minute. They haven't taken anyone's guns. And they hadn't, and they still haven't. All they wanted to do was regulate what kinds of guns you could have and who could have them. The same way we regulate, automobiles. you know, we don't let 3-year-olds drive cars. We don't let.
Although I saw what may have been, in, you know, like a 7-year-old riding a 4-wheeler.
Well, that's acceptable in West Virginia, or Appalachia. Let's just say Appalachia.
Yeah, that's freedom.
From you know, Pennsylvania down to North Carolina, that's acceptable.
And the 4-wheeler had a gun case on the back.
Well, of course it did. There's probably a gun in it too. And it was probably loaded. I mean, what good is an unloaded gun, Bob? Hell, it's like a car with no gas in it.
Goddamn right.
I mean, it's damn useless. How are you going to stand up against the oppression of the government with an unloaded gun?
Yeah, when it comes to put its jackbooted jackboots down on your freedom-loving neck right next to the tattoo that says only God can judge me.
Right. And your don't tread on me piss yellow snake flag.
Exactly.
Tied to the back of it. Yeah. I mean, you've been around here long enough, Bob. You know how that works. I mean, come on.
This ain't my first rodeo.
You have to hold your hand through it? I mean, shit.
God damn, Gerald. Thank God you're here. I mean, I love
you know, there was a gun rack. One of these. Damn right had a gun in it.
Of course it had juniper berries. They're juniper bushes.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And he was probably chewing smokeless tobacco, too, wasn't he?
She. Yes, well, of course.
Of course. And it was probably Copenhagen. That seems to be the tobacco of choice around
now,
here.
There's a lot of off-brand chew out there now.
Oh, it's another Red Seal or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's not, you know, they don't sell near as much of that fancy Happy Days mint.
Well, only the guys with the real good jobs buy the name brand stuff.
Yeah, the Cope and the right.
Right. We did lead the nation in smokeless tobacco use at one time. Do we still hold that title?
Teenage
smokeless tobacco use.
I would not be at all surprised if we do.
Well, it's probably a tie between us and Kentucky.
You know, but seriously, this Supreme Court decision today is a classic case of that, you know, hard cases make bad law. No, it's really not. Dig it. These are the two cases that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Talk about making it easy. It was two different cases that were joined for purposes of decision making. And both men, were convicted.
White men, too.
I'm pretty sure. Do you really have to guess?
Not really.
They were both convicted of breaking federal law. Insofar as they got convicted of misdemeanors for domestic violence, and then they were caught possessing firearms. Now, this law has been on the books since 1994. It's not exactly a spring chicken. It's a 22-year-old law.
That damn Bill Clinton
out there grabbing our goons.
Out there grabbing our goons, keeping law-abiding citizens
from protecting freedom.
From their Second Amendment rights.
And see, that's the... here's the fun part.
They weren't really law-abiding, were they?
One of the guys, back in 2004, he slapped the hell out of his girlfriend whilst he was liquored up.
Well, she probably got in his face.
Yeah, and just didn't know when to shut up. Right.
Right. I mean, if she'd have just left him alone, it was her own fault, Bob.
I mean, this guy's a real winner, okay? So 2004... He slaps the daylights out of his girlfriend while he's liquored up, and she drops the dime on him. And a few years later, an anonymous caller dropped the dime on him again and said, you know, that Vossine guy, he shot a bald eagle with a rifle.
Oh. Oh.
No, really. And so they went, they investigated, and they busted him for that. And so they convicted him for possession of a firearm and gave him a year in the stir. Now, this made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Some lawyer somewhere said, oh, yeah, you got a great chance on appeal, buddy. I mean, you know, you slapped the snot out of your girlfriend and you shot a bald eagle. Are you sure there's not a conviction out there for kicking a puppy or stomping a kitten or biting your mother?
hey, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Be a damn grizzly. And, of course, this is hand-in-hand with one of my favorite jokes, because what happened was after he was sentenced for shooting the bald eagle, the judge looked down at him and said, okay, I'm just curious, what did it taste like? And the guy looked up and he said,
tastes like chicken.
No, he looked up and said, a lot like spotted owl.
You just made that up.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. That was good.
The other guy, on the other hand, he beat the hell out of him.
Let's go back to the first guy.
Okay.
Did he beat, when he got the dime dropped on him the second time anonymously, was it the same woman? I bet it was, because I love him.
God, I hope not. But yeah, it was anonymous. It just says an anonymous caller. You know, because that happens. Yeah, 911, how can I help you? Yeah,
hey, there's a dude out here shooting bald eagles.
Yeah, I just watched a dude shoot a bald eagle.
Okay.
Then there's the other guy.
Yeah.
Back in 2008, he pled guilty to beating his wife.
Well, she probably had it coming, too.
Yeah, absolutely. How was she dressed?
Well, he wouldn't hit her. She didn't have it coming, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. God, that's brutal. So a few years passed.
Everyone knows I'm joking, right?
Yes, they do. They do.
Okay. Because I live for sarcasm. Yeah. I really do.
So a few years go by, and lo and behold, this guy is apparently under investigation for, some sort of drug thing.
Probably in the pharmaceutical business, yes.
So they get a search warrant on sworn affidavit, and they search his house, and they find lots of guns and lots of ammunition.
Well, yeah, how's he? That oppressive government, Bob.
I know.
We've been through this.
You got to have some guns if you're going to be in the drug trade.
But that too.
I mean, it's capitalism out there, people.
That's right.
And so he, for violating the federal firearms statute regarding domestic abusers not being able to possess firearms, he got 3 years probation. Now, what trial lawyer does not walk out with his client and go, listen, dipshit, you just got 3 years probation. Go and sin no more. And just be glad that you're not going to hear any doors clanking behind you. Nope, I'm gonna appeal this all the way to the Supreme Court, no matter how many women I have to beat to get there.
Really?
And so they get to the Supreme Court, and here's the nut of their argument. Okay,
is going to be good, isn't it?
We got two guys, Gerald, who were both legally convicted of woman beating. Okay?
Yes.
So the pettifogging lawyer for the NRA, for all I know, or probably at least partially funded by, walks in, looks the justices in the eye, and doesn't giggle or nothing, and says, this statute is unconstitutional because, see, what the two men did, it ain't necessarily... knowing or intentional when you beat the shit out of a woman. Sometimes it's just reckless. And if it's reckless, your honors, may it please the court. You can't take away a man's right to keep and bear arms under the sacred Second Amendment.
Because it was meant for the reckless people of the country, right?
Yep, right. Because recklessness is written into the Second Amendment.
Of course, it's right there.
You know, when in the course of human events, a well-regulated, reckless militia being necessary to the... Yeah, except, right, no.
So the guy...
And Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't even go, no, really, you're making that argument?
So the guy got...
Is this a gag? Where's the camera? I thought we didn't let cameras in here.
Okay, let me get this straight. The second guy, who likes to beat up on his old lady, was convicted of a felony for violating the Federal Firearms Act.
Bingo.
Okay. And I assume this was a U.S. Circuit Court that he went to?
He's tried in a district court.
Okay. In a district court. He gets 3 years probation. I mean, no time served. He 3 years probation.
Yeah.
If you're good, come back. We'll give you a do-over. And decides to appeal that.
And a lawyer looked at him and said, well, hell, I think you got a great chance.
Right,
because the check from the NRA just cleared.
Right there is where two geniuses met. and I'm not talking like Einstein.
No, we're talking Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Super genius. That type of genius.
I mean, this is an Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam meeting of the minds kind of moment.
You know, you can't make this up. That's the old cliche. You can't make this stuff up. And I believe that's true. Because that's just classic.
I mean, at least the first guy, the guy who shot the bald eagle, at least he did a year in the stir.
Yeah, well, you know, the punishment fits the crime. I mean, that's I can see that. That's I would say that's probably a fair sentence. Because I'm sure he did some time on paper, too. And for those who don't know what that means, is he did some time on probation or parole. I have neighbors.
You live in West Virginia. I mean,
I have neighbors. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
You know, everybody does. I got the crack breathers next door, and you know.
Oh my God, the stories I could tell. But I'd rather not.
No, but that's one thing. It's really hard to live in West Virginia and not have those neighbors.
Well, you know, I don't.
There is a leveling effect here.
I don't think it's just indigenous to West Virginia. I think everybody's got them. I mean, from, you know, Florida to New York to Washington to the you know, California. I think everybody's got them. Some just more so than others.
Well, no, but I mean, you can get your gated communities and stuff, but it's hard to have those here.
There aren't very many, no. No.
I mean, it's like, you know, Glade Springs.
Well, the problem here.
They're out by Cheat Lake.
Yeah. the gated communities, well, first of all, they won't let you put your 78 Camaro up on blocks out the front yard.
Joe Biden, right.
Even if you are current on your homeowners association dues, they're just not going to tolerate that. And you know, the 15 set of deer antlers tacked up over the garage, they won't go for that. They don't like those types of things. It tastes like spotted owl.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. I like that.
Hey, Gerald, it's been a lovely conversation. Of course, it always is. Boom!
Boom! Yeah, there you go.
We used to have to put a blaze orange vest on our dog to let her out to, you know, do her thing during deer season.
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, every deer season we hear about farmers' cattle being shot. I mean,
God damn it, Gerald, those are not cattle. Those are slow elk.
Slow elk with no horns.
You ever tried to drag one? It's a real bitch.
Some of them go upwards of 1,000, 1,500 pounds.
Big-ass slow elk.
Yes, big-ass slow elk.
Slow elk and State Farm Lightning.
There you go.
Staples of the West Virginia economy.
Oh, well, it was fun.
It was. You have a lovely evening. keep an eye on the neighbors, would you? Would you, George?
I don't even want to go there.
I'll see you later. Bye.
Okay, bye.
And from there, let's run up to New Jersey. Oh, no, wrong button. Please call back. You waited so long. I did not mean to do that. I apologize. Please call back. I'm used to pushing, but and I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. Meanwhile, let's check in with Thomas. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
You know, Gerald just perked me right up.
Don't worry about your buffering or whatever, as long as it's not me.
No, and it settled down. I don't know what made it work, but it settled down.
I walked away from my computer for an hour.
Oh, was it you?
Yeah, it was me. I walked away.
Out there breaking the damn internet again.
Yeah, must be the gays.
Go ahead. No,
go
please.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you.
You tell a story about the. I did not know. I've been show prepping myself, and I'm reading about Justice Thomas and his first time speaking in 10 years because of this case, and
it's alive.
The Walking Dead. And I had no idea that the dude shot a bald eagle.
There's no point to the story unless you get the bald eagle in there.
No, there isn't. But, never mind the unnecessary touching. Just
no.
The bald eagle. Was it the bald eagle that attacked Trump?
Good question.
What's that it?
I don't know what the lifespan of a bald eagle is.
Yeah, neither do
I. But, they got those big-ass wingspans. They're pretty scary when they're coming at you. And, I mean, if the Second Amendment don't mean you can defend yourself against a raging bald eagle swooping down with its talons of freedom aimed at gouging out your eyes balls, well, what the hell's it for?
Well, what did he do to piss off the bald eagle? Slap his wife?
Or what? No. You've got this backwards. It's like his wife. What did the bald eagle do to piss off him?
Oh yeah.
How was the bald eagle dressed?
See, I'm a northerner. I'm
freaking
I'm
Yankees.
I don't know your ways, Bob.
I don't know that this guy was a southerner either. I mean, oh, that's just bigoted.
Yes, it is. You're welcome.
Like there aren't any of these people in northern Michigan.
We give them all health care. It's not great, but we give it to them. That's about the only good thing one tough douche did. Is give them health care. With this story... I hate to go back to this argument, but does it not prove with all these cases the worth of the Supreme Court pick?
Well, it kind of does. It also means that, I mean, because this is a gun case and an abortion rights case where Kennedy's gone, okay, Scalia, it's like Scalia was his abuser. It's like he's in the bunker and is just dead and everybody's lighting up. Anthony Kennedy is smoking a cigarette right now.
I don't want to say it, but I will. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I mean, it's not too soon anymore, is it?
Oh, no. We can giggle merrily along.
Yeah, okay.
We can even have cowbell.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The funny thing about the Supreme Court today was, on the one hand, they get it right on the Texas abortion restrictions. On the other hand, they get it right on this gun issue, because it is perfectly legal to have regulation of the way that the Second Amendment is organized and administered.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you still can't have a drone with hellfire missiles or sharks with frickin' laser beams. I know.
I want one.
But on the other hand, when it comes to a member of their own class, the hoity-toity political class, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Because you notice that the incredibly corrupt former governor of Virginia, the noted transvaginalist, former Governor McDonald, will not serve a day in jail.
But the question is, what about his wife?
I don't know. How is she dressed?
Because didn't the wife come into that package too? Where they both got it?
Did you describe that way on
purpose?
Yes,
I did.
come in
the
package.
I've been watching Game of Thrones, Bob. I'm sorry.
Well, enjoy it before the Brexit fucks it all up.
Well, yeah.
No, they only threw out his bribery conviction.
Well, that just...
But the thing is, this is actually not that surprising. Because, see, the Supreme Court wrote in Citizens United that giving money to politicians does not create a de facto quid pro quo situation. In other words, just because you give a lawmaker money and the lawmaker then does what you want them to do, that doesn't mean it's bribery.
Just means they got caught.
So now, this unanimous decision, 8-0, says, no, just because he accepted all kinds of gifts and then did things that the guy wanted done doesn't mean he was accepting bribes. I mean, let's see. He wrote the briber wrote checks to help him pay credit card debts, to help him pay real estate debts, to cover the cost of catering his daughter's wedding. There was a $20,000 worth of designer clothes for Mrs. McDonald. There was a Rolex. There was a entree into a country club. There was a vacation home, a home in the country with a river of beer flowing over your grandmother's paisley shawl. There was a Ferrari, Thomas, and none of it is bribery.
Yeah, but a Ferrari is an Italian car, Bob. Is that really bribery? See, I'm just being...
No, that's love.
Well, they, exactly, and that's where they were going. They were showing their love. Because here's the thing, when... I'm not angry over this because I can't...
Meanwhile, Don Siegelman is still in jail.
Thank you. No, well, that's where I'm going with this. Because we have someone like Governor Siegel... Governor? Yes, right? Don Siegelman was a governor, correct?
Yep.
Governor Siegelman in jail. And nobody gives a damn except us. And, you know, Bob Ney went through shit. Nobody gave a damn. And he was a Republican.
Yeah.
When people actually try to do the right thing, and don't play with power, they get burned. And people like this douchebag, who I don't think ever did the right thing politically in the day, all his days, gets to walk. This is how it is until we change the system for the better. And I understand your anger, and I'm angry too. But it's, to me at this point, it's expected. Until we change the system. This should be a rallying cry to change the system when 8-0 is, or you said 8-0, but the number is, you know, get out of jail free card. This is that.
Well, yeah, because he's part of their class.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. And so, yes, to answer your question, Maureen, Mrs. X McDonald, I guess. Her conviction is on hold, pending the outcome of the Supreme Court decision. So it'll probably disappear too. But see, the thing is, I mean, this is straight out of Citizens United. The defense said, well, all he did was, you know, he just set up a few meetings for this guy, but he never pressured anybody in state office to, like, you know, help him or anything. And the Supreme Court hung their hat on that. Well, I mean, he was just being nice, and he was being nice back, you know. I mean, as Gerald just pointed out to me, you know, a Ferrari's not bribery. It's just transportation for the poor soul. I mean, it's only got two seats. How good a car can it be?
Yeah. And the mileage sucks. Just saying. It's not like an S-Class or something.
Yeah, right. No, it does. No. It's not a Maybach.
I don't know. Maybe being a Bernie supporter, I become so jaded with the system. I get my anger goes differently than most people at this point, where it's like, it's motivation. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you're a sellout, oh, this, that, and the other thing. But when I see stuff like this, it's clearly motivation for me. and to make me get people to realize how important things are and how we need better people representing us. Otherwise, you're going to be angry about this till days come long, and so am I. And what's the point? And I think we have a better purpose than that, right?
Well, yeah, and it's also an argument against running off in the political weeds. None of these things are ever going to be changed by people who say, "Screw it, I'm not going to participate, man."
Yeah, or by people who say, "Let's not listen to the guy who we're following and burn it down," because he's not saying that yet. And I don't think he would. I don't think it's in his nature. He wants to change the system that he's been given.
Right. I mean, when Bernie talked about a revolution, he wasn't talking about lining people up against walls and giving six guys rifles and only five of them bullets. We're not talking about 1917 in Russia or 1793 in France. He wanted to, and this is, this is one of those historical critiques that goes back to the late 19th century. Once upon a time there was an outfit called the Knights of Labor, and they were very much socialists, and they were very much about fundamentally changing the way we structure the economy. And they were suppressed, as were the IWW, the Wobblies. Because what happened is the capitalists sat down with people like Samuel Gompers of the AFL, the American Federation of Labor, and they said, "Hey, we can do business with this guy. Because he doesn't want to line us up against walls and shoot us. He just wants a little bit better for the people that he represents. So we'll give them a little slice of the pie. And then we'll keep giving them a smaller and smaller and smaller slice until they're staring at an empty plate and we say, 'Yeah, but you're at the table.'" And this is kind of the same thing. Bernie, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. Bernie wants to change the system to make it more fair to everyday Americans. He does not, however, want to tear it all down and start all over again. Because I think he's wise enough to recognize the inherent dangers of doing that, Thomas.
Oh, and I agree. And you and I are in full-throated agreement on that. And that's why I get so upset with some of the...
He can't run a third-party candidacy because that hands it to Trump.
Thank you.
Because Hillary is going to, if she wins, she will beat Trump by a terrifyingly small margin. That's the way they've got the math worked out. But, she's dead even with Trump in Ohio. That matters.
Yeah, what I mean? Right. Oh, totally. And that's what I get mad over. I get mad over when I see the Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton speech and CNN is talking about, "Well, Bernie isn't doing enough to unify the party, and this could have been his moment." And I'm thinking, you missed the point. He doesn't give a damn about his moment. He gives a damn about the revolution and what we're trying to do, and not just have a seat at the table and be given crumbs, but have a seat at the table and be given a meal. I don't even watch it anymore. I just happened to turn it on, and they were talking about that, and I'm thinking, You're so daft. But, I'm clearly the daft one because I'm not getting paid what you are. And I think I do a better job of it. But you do the best job, Bob. And I'm not just buttering you up.
Oh, well, thank you very kindly. You have no idea how much work goes into the maintenance of the Gulfstream 5 hangar.
So, oh, yeah. Have you gotten your $6 million yet for that? No.
George Soros is... Yeah.
He is one lazy fucker when it comes to those checks, isn't he?
Maybe he's out of stamps. I don't know. But I do have some thanks to send out, because I got a note from Steve in Georgistan, who said that Cletus had come out from under the bed and kicked in $10. Thank you very, very kindly. So Cletus, you're in good company with Catherine and Gerald. And this is sweet. Steve said, Karen and I used to go out nightly and waste money at the Hooterville Saloon. Now we buy in bulk and get entertained by the horn. You're actually saving us money, my friend. Shots by the half gallon, 50 cents. Shots at a bar, $5. You do the math. Man, the lightning's frightening. I may disappear this evening. If so, have an awesome evening. The lightning the other night was just wild. The sky was pink at 10 o'clock at night, Thomas. I kid you not. But I love the idea of people sitting around, you know, pouring shots of Old Panther and listening to the program.
No, I do too. And, you know, if they listen to me, I compete with Mike and I hate it, but I needed to get actual sleep because of how my schedule is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank your listeners and Mike's, who I know who have stayed on, especially with the third hour, and thank them, because I know a couple of your listeners have contributed to me and the network, specifically the network. And I couldn't have done it without you. So, you know,
That is very, very kind indeed, Thomas. Thank you very kindly. Hey, here, we were talking about Bob McDonald a minute ago.
Oh, yes, please.
This is a second brush with greatness from Scott in San Diego. He said, as I recall, former Virginia Governor Bob McDonald threw his wife under the bus to save his own ass during the trial. That's true. But Scott follows up and says, he's always been a pompous prick. In my freshman and sophomore years of high school, I attended the same boys' Catholic high school as he did. A real schmuck, then and now. So, wow. But how weird that he turned into an evangelical fundamentalist, because he went on to go to like Jerry Falwell Law School or Pat Robertson Law School or something like that, and he became fascinated with transvaginal ultrasounds. What a creep. So, yep, I agree.
On the bright side, Bob, and all this, if she does get off, because he threw her under the bus and that's domestic violence, he won't be able to get a gun.
Well, I don't think this counts.
Damn it. You gotta try and keep it real.
Yeah, I know. I know. I do love, you mentioned Slappy Thomas's dissent in the Bald Eagle shooter case.
Yes.
And it is precious.
Oh, it is. It is. He said
that the law that in question imposes a lifetime ban. And you can almost hear the violins and the cheap tinny whorehouse piano in the background. It imposes a lifetime ban on gun ownership for a single, intentional, non-consensual touching of a family member. The majority seeks to expand that already broad rule to any reckless physical injury or non-consensual touch. I would not extend the statute into that constitutionally problematic territory.
Well, from what we heard from his hearings to be a judge, he's all sorts of into the non-consensual touching.
Yeah, well, there is that. Lots of non... Yeah, right. That's why we call him Slappy Coke Can Thomas.
Yeah. I love your names. I steal them often.
Help yourself. I probably stole them in the first place.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. I try to give credit where credit is due. Otherwise, I hear Stephanie Miller complain about it on air. this is going to be for us Bernie folks. This convention and everything is going to be a rough couple of weeks. But what I want to remind everybody before I go is that Bernie was at 6%. They said he couldn't do it. He won 22 states, probably California. And he won more than Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Marco Rubio, and all those other little Republican bastards and bastardesses who had more airtime and coverage than he ever did. That's something to be very proud of. And Hillary's afraid of him and hates him. That's something to be even more proud of.
Well, you know, the wealth class of the bourgeoisie always hate any populist movement. And that's why they go immediately to the nastiest of smears, Thomas.
Agreed.
Yeah, I didn't hear nearly during the primary process. I didn't hear or see nearly as many right wingers calling Bernie a commie as I did Hillary supporters.
Yeah, and I was told we were on the same team.
Well, you know, as long as you get in line.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Warren.
Right. Sorry. Yeah.
She gives me a cough every time, but you know, hey, you got to be a politician to not lose your head. So I watch too much Game of Thrones now.
Yeah, you really do. That throne looks really uncomfortable, and maybe that's the point.
Yeah, it exactly.
It's made out of swords. Points, get it? Yeah. Okay.
And the funny thing is, I got so many people recommended it to me, and I resisted. So I'm starting from the beginning. I have not watched any of season 6 or anything. And I got to tell you, when other people have watched a show and you're just getting into it and you could watch it at your own pace or binge watch, that is the best. I love doing that. You know? And it doesn't matter if you miss a week or whatever, you just get through it. And man, I'm having a good time with this show. I'm glad I waited so long. Because I don't have to worry about
it. Well, see, my problem with Game of Thrones is I can't find anybody that I don't want to get killed. maybe this is turning us on its ear. It's kind of a truism of drama and, you know, entertainment that in a storyline, you kind of want somebody to feel sorry for at the very least, if not root for outright. And as far as I can tell, if they dropped an atomic bomb on that universe, it would be no less the worse for wear.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in that show is just awful.
And what the moment you start to think that they have a soul, they pull the rug out from under you. It's just like, really?
This guy's an asshole too.
But I guess it's like the real world. Everybody's an asshole at some point.
But all the time?
I would be an asshole, too, if I didn't have any real insulated places to be in.
I mean, it reminds me a long time ago of a science fiction series called The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant the Unbeliever.
Okay.
And it began with Lord Foulsbane. And some old hardcore sci-fi people and fantasy people will go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And it was huge. It sold like hotcakes. And I read the whole damn thing, just waiting for one moment when the protagonist of the book was not a dick. And it never came. And I don't know, maybe it just violated some fundamental principle that's inherent in me, but that just really pissed me off and frustrated me. It's like I remember sitting down to read John Irving's The World According to Garp, because everybody and their cousin was reading The World According to Garp. And so I had to read The World According to Garp, and I read The World According to Garp, and The World According to Garp bored me to tears. And the movie was none much better.
Better or worse than Star Trek V?
Oh, worse by far.
Okay.
I mean, at least, you know, Star Trek.
Yeah, true. Oh, by the way, speaking of, have you heard about what's going on with the guidelines for Star Trek fan films?
No.
At all?
No.
CBS and Paramount totally fucked the fans.
Nice.
They made so stringent rules that you basically cannot do it. And there are a lot of fan groups out there. I know I used to be a part of a huge one back in my Vegas days, and I still kind of, yeah, I know, I'm a dork.
Oh, okay, well, you said it, I didn't.
I'm proud of it. I wish I could get beamed up. That being said, this is the reason I've talked about this on my show, and the reason I have is because this is what we're going to get with the TPP. If a company like Disney with Star Wars fan films has basically said you could do what you want as long as you're not making any money on it. If you're not making any money off of our product, have at it. Paramount has basically said, you guys have enjoyed what you had, cease and desist.
Yeah, enough already.
Yeah. You know, and drop the hammer.
Well, see, Thomas, there's only so many potential plot lines. and you know, what if one of these fan groups comes up with a really cool plot line and ruins the next movie?
Yeah.
You know, sure. infinite Trekkies with infinite typewriters, and, you know, one of them's going to write The Wrath of Khan 3.
Yeah.
Khan! You know, sorry.
I can't take Chekhov doing that. They've already had Spock do it. They've already had Kirk do it. I can't take Chekhov doing it, or Scotty doing it, or any of them else doing it. So no Star Trek 3. And it sucks because this is like supposed
to be... Oh, you mentioned Chekhov, that poor dude.
I know.
And I guess there was a recall on the Jeep?
Yeah, we talked about that too. Because, again, dork. I just... I really liked him too. He made some of the best scenes.
What do you do with Chekhov now?
I know.
I mean, you've got to, like, blow him up on a planet off-screen or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you take some outtake footage from a previous movie of him walking through a door, and then, you know, there's something up from, you know, and there's a communicator and a voiceover, and it... Hey.
Well, not that there's a good thing in anyone's death, but the only good thing in this alternative universe, it's in an alternative universe, maybe somebody can create one without any goddamn lens flares. Just a suggestion.
Well, I'm not crazy about this latest Star Trek universe. No.
I'm not either.
Fast
but
and Furious in space. No.
I will say I really do like the writer of it, not the director. The writer is the guy who plays Scotty in this, in the new movies, and Simon Pegg. And I think I trust him more than the director and the producers. So I'm hoping that it won't be horrible.
I've seen the trailer, and you know, sometimes a bad trailer is an indication of a good movie.
Yeah.
Because the trailer's terrible.
Yeah. And the first two trailers were awesome for the reboots. And they weren't that great movies. You know, they weren't horrible, but they weren't that great. And now we'll see what they do on their own. Because they don't have, you know, Leonard Nimoy to rely on.
You know what would be great? Is a new Star Trek series that was all from the Klingon POV.
Oh, that would be fun. I'd say have a fan film do it, but no. Nope.
Well, I kind of brought that up because yes, exactly. Yeah, see, Gerald's in with us. Gerald says, "I'm not crazy about the newest reimagined Star Trek. I think it would have been better as a standalone series, kind of like Next Generation."
Yeah, I agree with that. It feels more like a made-for-TV movie. Type of thing. By the way, what I've heard about the new Star Trek CBS All Access throw up in my mouth, have to pay more money for TV crap. They are the only good thing about it that I've heard so far is they're doing what Deep Space Nine did. And see, this is how much of a Trekkie I am, Bob. I'm sorry.
You show up for jury duty in a Trek uniform, we'll know.
Yes, that would be the way to get out of it. No, I wear my Ferengi mask.
Well, you can borrow Larry's Vulcaneers if you have to.
No, I got my Ferengi mask. I'm small enough, and I really love money, even though I'm a socialist, so, you know.
Yeah.
that doesn't quite work. But they're supposedly doing all 13 episodes as one story arc. So a continual story. And I always love Star Trek that does that.
Well, see, I loved Enterprise. I thought that was a great show until they just completely drove it onto the rocks and wrecked it.
I thought they could have done so much better.
There was a tremendous potential there. The idea of humans not liking Vulcans and Vulcans not liking humans much at all, and being kind of, you know, backstabbing, back channel, you know, screwing over the recently evolved little hairless apes. It was brilliant. It really was.
Oh, yeah.
And Scott Bakula was good. But then again, I loved Firefly too. So, you know, what do I know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all what they do with it. And I'm sorry. It should be Netflix that does this, or somebody.
Speaking of which, this is kind of a big time rumor.
Okay.
It could be a real groundbreaker. I recently ran across a rumor that Verizon Wireless,
yeah,
is working on a deal with Netflix, an exclusivity deal, so that if you have Netflix and you buy a Verizon device, actually watching Netflix on your Verizon device will not count against your bandwidth.
Oh, wow.
If they don't completely screw that up, that could be pretty huge.
Yeah, it could be. But I bet they'll completely screw it up. It's capitalism.
I mean, I know AT&T's got DirecTV. You could not pay me.
The only good thing about DirecTV is the fact that it has free speech TV.
Yeah, but how many layers up the ladder do you have to pay to get it?
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And the blade.
Now, if you get the basic package, you get all kinds of Electro God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Randy says that violates net neutrality. I'll have to think about that.
I'm not sure it does.
I mean, it's just a contractual arrangement between two corporate entities.
I'm not sure that it does.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Amazon Prime or Hulu or some of those others would complain and say, we deserve the same deal. But it's actually Verizon giving away bandwidth, not limiting it.
Yeah.
But
so,
that's
an
interesting.
I don't think it is. And that's probably why they're willing to do it, because they figure they'll get more, you know, viewers. But I've run out your clock, Bob. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay, Thomas. I enjoyed the conversation immensely.
Oh, I did too, as always. I'll be coming up next on FY Nation, but I know a lot of people go to Mike, and I don't fault them for that. I always say that. But I do thank those who come over to my third hour, and I thank you for being the one who promoted it last week too, Bob.
Oh, my pleasure, Thomas. You take care. Have a good show and a good evening.
You too as well, my friend.
All right. Bye now. And as for me, it's time to get on the road and go pick the boy up from work. That, by the way, is why the podcasts have been a little slower lately going up, because I don't get to finish it until I get back from picking him up. That being the case, though, a reminder, if you ever have trouble getting the podcast from any of the other places, you can always get the previous day's program, or the most recent program, if you subscribe over at podbean.com, podbean, podbean.com. And, you know, who knows? Well, there's no who knows to it. I mean, we don't pay them. They don't pay us. And by the way, we will close, you know, we had three slots in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Matching Challenge. We still have three slots open. Catherine got her 50 doubled to 100. And thank you very kindly to Gerald and to Cletus via Steve and Karen for kicking in as well. Remember, we're running downhill trying to beat the Swede by Thursday night. We need to make the fundraising goal every night in order to do that. So hopefully, hopefully some people will hear this and, you know, respond accordingly. So thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.